If you would turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, I'm just going to read verse 1. When you find your place, stand. We'll read the Word of God there. Then we'll ask God to bless this time that we have. It's laid on my heart as far as the message tonight. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. It's not on. There we go. Okay. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. We read in the Bible, it says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven." Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the time that we've had to go out and witness and go door to door and give the gospel out to those that live in this community. Lord, as we go through your scriptures now, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, help me even now as I talk about the folly of the hypocrite, Lord, in doing things for the wrong reason, with the wrong heart, Lord, that I not be guilty of it standing in the pulpit. Lord, I pray you'd guide and direct my mouth, the things that I say tonight, Lord, and I pray you touch each and every heart here, whether it's a need of salvation, a need of encouragement, Lord, a need of rebuke, whatever it might be, Lord, I pray that you just work in the hearts of those that are here tonight, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Matthew chapter 6, going through verses 1 through 8, really, deals about the practice of a hypocrite and the way they do things. And this can, you know, these particular verses, 1 through 4, deal with almsgiving, 6 or 5 through 8 deal with the prayer life, but it can be applied anywhere in our Christian walk, whether it's playing an instrument in the church, whether it's singing in the choir or singing a special, whether it's cleaning and doing things in the church, whether it's working out on the property, working in the Christian servants' home, whether it's going out on visitation, no matter what it is, this can be applied to us because there's a danger of doing it with a hypocritical heart, doing it for the wrong reason. And that's what I want to touch upon today, because here in the Bible, it says that their main motive was to be recognized by those that were around them. And that's the wrong motive to do anything we do for the Lord. That's the wrong reason to get up here, for me to get up here in the pulpit or for anyone to get up in an area of service to do it, to be noticed by people. And there were two areas that were addressed here, almsgiving and prayer. But like I said, the application can be made anywhere in Christian service. But here in verses 1 through 4, I'm going to read those, and then we'll go over those quickly. It says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." You see, what they were doing here is they were giving to God. That's a good thing. That's commended in the Bible. That's commanded in our tithes. That's commanded in our offerings or commended in our offerings, the way we give to the Lord. But you can do it the wrong way and not please God at all. And I think the way that we do it here in the church is a tremendous way. I think passing the plates, which is pretty much standard in most churches, and having the plate go across the pews and people being allowed to put their tithes and their offerings in the plate, I think that's great. And that's the way I think it ought to be done. But there are churches out there that don't always do it that way. I've seen some churches who leave the plate up front and people come up front and put it in. I don't have a problem with that either, because we have a portion of Scripture where Jesus sat back and watched people as they gave and as they went up, and he commended the widow who gave the two mites above those that were giving much but of their plenty. So I don't have a problem with that either. But I have run into places where I do have a problem with the way they took up their offering. I thought it was a lot of vainglory. I thought it was a lot of hypocritical giving. One church, although, you know, they didn't necessarily announce the amount people were given, as they gave the plate by, the ushers would be on either side and they'd watch what you put in the plate. And if you didn't put anything in the plate, they'd walk by your pew and not say a word. If you put a dollar in the plate, you'd hear an amen from the ushers. If you put $5 in the plate, you'd hear, "Well, amen." If you put $10 in the plate, you'd hear, "Well, glory." So people knew what you were giving. And so people would give to hear a well glory, so everybody would turn their eyes and see who got a well glory. I had a problem with that. I thought it was giving hypocritically. I thought it was giving to get a little bit of praise. But I've seen it even worse than that. I went to one church and they passed the plate. And they felt like they didn't get enough. So they passed the plate again. And they felt like they didn't get enough. So they passed the plate again. And each time they would tell the congregation that they were quenching the Spirit in them, and until we filled the plate, they weren't going to stop. What they did is they began to say, how many people here will give a $100 bill? Now this plate has been passed 3 and 4 times now. These people had an opportunity each of those times to put this money in the plate. But now all of a sudden we've got a bunch of givers. And someone says, well, who will give $100? And a couple will stand up and go, we'll do it. And they'll raise that $100. And the usher will run all the way up there and he'll grab that $100 bill and hold it up and put it in the plate. And they went on with this and they say, who will give $100 for Jesus? Who will give $100 for the Holy Spirit? Who will give $100 for God? And what I saw was people who had plenty of opportunity early to put this money in the plate were now giving because it was noticeable. I saw people who would give a check and they would bring the check up to the pulpit and they would say, now Brother Metcalf gave $50, and they would read the amount on the check and the couple that gave it. Now why didn't they put that check in the plate the first time it was passed? If they intended on giving to God, then why did they wait until they were recognized to do it? That was hypocritical giving. And I say that the Bible says they already have their reward. The amens and the cheers and the looks that they got from everybody in the congregation, that's their reward. And that's all they're going to get for it. They're not going to get a blessing from God because they didn't give it with the right heart. I had a problem with that. The Bible says that our heart ought to be pure toward God. The Bible says that the word... I looked up the word hypocrite. And I, you know, I wasn't quite sure. I knew hypocrite meant that you were doing something in a wrong fashion. But I didn't know exactly what it meant. In the Greek, it means play actor. That's what hypocrite means, a play actor. You can get up and do something and sing. I think the ladies sung a wonderful song, the young girls over here, and I don't believe any of them was up here for that reason. But I've been in churches where it was just, they were just, oh, let me get some glory here. Let me sing so everybody comes up and says, what a tremendous voice you have. Listen, the Bible says we're not supposed to do that. It goes on to say that what we do must be from the heart toward God and not toward men. And we see that in this particular church, that's what was going on. And it got to the point that it became, in my mind, a circus. It was no longer an offering toward God. It was no longer pleasing to God. I don't care how much they gathered up. And it was in the thousands. And I'm talking about the double-digit thousands that they gathered up that night. But when you've got someone going, I'll give $100 if that man over there will run 3 laps around the church. And this man runs 3 laps around the church. And he's dog-tired after he's done. Then he gives us 100. I was bothered by that. I was bothered by someone saying, I'll give $50 if that man over there will do 60 push-ups. And they got down and did 60 push-ups. Vainglory. Hypocritical. They have their reward. We need to do things with a pure heart. The Bible says, do not sound a trumpet in verse 2. Don't make it known. Don't sit here and say, this is what I'm giving and I want everybody to know it. Because although it's put in the plate and it's offered to God, God's not pleased with it. And it may not even be blessed of God. I'm saying it may not even multiply for God's use. I know God uses what's put on the plate. But I think that God will bless the two mites of the lady who gave all of her, everything she had, versus the person who went up there and gave a lot of, a little bit, or really a little bit of a lot he had, although it seemed like a large amount that he put in the plate. Because she gave with singleness of heart toward God, and they gave out of their plenty. And oftentimes to be seen, the Bible says that that was their practice in 6. That's why Jesus addressed it, because it was a practice of theirs. It needs to be done for the compassion of the poor. It needs to be done for the compassion of the work of the Lord, for the needs of the ministry, to reach lost souls, to reach those young men and women who are serving over at Fort Hood, who are dying and going to hell. And that's why we put in the plate, not so someone can come up and say, well done, brother. I don't care if people know what we give. We only need to care that God knows what we give and that it's pure toward Him. And there's a proper way to give. The Bible says in Matthew 6, verse 3, "But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand is doing." In other words, don't make it known. I don't need to let my brother, as much as I love the brothers in here, know what I'm giving. I don't need to go up before and say, "Boy, you know, I gave $500 to that." I don't need. Now, there's nothing wrong. I know that it's been done where someone donated money, and it was not intended to be known, but it became known. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't feel there's anything wrong with recognizing someone if their intent was not to be recognized, to say, "Listen, this brother really helped out, and we thank you," or "This sister really helped out, and we thank you." I don't find anything wrong with that, because Jesus commended the widow and even mentioned what she gave. But the purpose is doing it toward God, not knowing what our brothers and sisters, not letting our brothers and sisters know what we're doing, but singleness toward God from our heart. And the proper way, it says in 4, "that thine alms may be in secret, and that thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." If you're going to get a reward, let it be from God. Let it be God's praise. Let it be God's blessing that comes down and not man's. Because as long as it's man's, they'll never be able to applaud you as much as God will and give you the glory, not that you do it for glory, but the crowns, the things that we can cast at Jesus' feet, the "well done, thy good and faithful servant." Let it come from God and not from man. And the other area that this Bible talks about in verses 5 through 8, now this is on prayer. The Bible says in verse 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him." This was a practice of prayer. There is nothing wrong with praying. There is nothing wrong with lifting your arms toward God and saying, "God, I need help." There's nothing wrong with lifting your voice toward God and letting your request be known. Nothing wrong with it. But see, their problem here was their chief goal, again, was to be recognized by their neighbors, by those that pass by, and it's evidenced in the places that they chose to pray. We're instructed in Scripture to find a secret place, the closet in our home, and to go into the darkness and close the door and pray to God. That's how we're instructed to pray. Although, there are examples of public prayer. But again, that was not their goal here. Their goal was not to come like we do on Saturday nights and to gather as men of the church and pray together as one to ask God and petition God for the next day and for lost souls. There are many times in the Bible where we see they gather together and they pray and they ask God and petition as one group. And God honors that and answers that. But what was being done here is the places that they were choosing, in the synagogues, out where people could see them, making private prayer public. Not that they were standing up praying for the people, but they were praying for themselves and making their own self glorified in what they were doing and being recognized by those that passed by. It said they did it because they wanted to be recognized. The street corners that they chose were frequented by people. We went out, and I know this doesn't deal with prayer, but we went out to Montgomery, and we had a goal, and that was to go out there and preach and to proclaim the Word of God and what God's Word says about His law and what we as a Christian nation ought to do about it. And we chose a street corner because they didn't want us preaching really up where they were, had everything going on. That was one of the reasons. But we went out there to the street corner, and we began to preach. And it had nothing to do with being recognized by people. It had to do with being honest and sincere about God's Word. And I can say that as Brother Chris preached, and as Brother Joe preached, and as Pastor preached, and as Brother Johnny Lightsey taught there, and as I preached, I can speak for every one of them. No one was out there for their own purpose. We weren't out there for people to come up and say, "What a tremendous job," because believe me, we didn't hear it from anybody. Although I think we had some people that were a bit enamored by what was going on. They weren't used to that type of setting. They weren't used to someone standing on the street corner and opening the Word of God and preaching. And they came by and they stood and they listened. And they liked what they saw. But that's not why we were out there. It didn't matter to us whether anybody stood and listened to us, whether anybody recognized what we were doing out there, because that's not the purpose we went there for. But these people in the Bible that were praying chose the corners and the busy corners at that so they could be recognized. And that was wrong. They wanted to be taken notice of in their prayers. We can even be in danger of that. We come on Saturday nights and we pray. And like I said, there's nothing wrong with that. I think that it's all through the Scriptures and we're being biblical when we do that. But there's a danger when we gather here as men and we separate into our groups and we go into our groups that we pray to the men we're with and not to God. We have to be careful of that. And I found myself at times doing that. I'll be honest with myself and I'll be honest with you. There are times when I got in there and I got down on my knees and I began to pray and I began to wonder why I didn't hear an amen from the men in the room. Was I not saying the right things? Did I not please them with what I said? And I had to remember, I'm not here to please them with what I said. I'm here to ask God of things. And I remember thinking, when I come and pray now, I'm going to pray by myself. I'm not going to get with other men because I don't want to worry about how long I pray and what I pray and if anybody approves of what I pray. But I don't think it's wrong to come here and pray with the men, because I really get encouraged when I get down on my knees and I pray with different men and I hear their burdens on their heart and I hear the needs that they have and I hear the requests that they make and how they pray for other men and other women in the church and how they pray for our pastors and our youth leaders and all those that work in the church, and that encourages my heart. But there's some times when I feel like I just got to come and pray by myself, because I might be in danger of trying to pray toward men and not toward God. And it's easy to do. The other problem they had was the posture they chose. It's not wrong to stand and pray. The Bible talks about standing and raising holy hands toward God and praying. It's not wrong to do that. But that wasn't their purpose. Their purpose was to be recognized. There are other postures. There are postures down on our knees praying, being humble toward God. There are postures of being prostrate on the ground before the Lord. And those are all good postures of prayer. I think it's good that when we're in a group of men and we're sitting down, that the man that's called on to pray, I think it's good that he stands up and prays. I know we can stand, sit down and pray. I know you can be in the seat of a plane. I know you can be in anywhere and pray to God. You can be, like Pastor has said, you can be hung upside down and pray to God. He'll hear your prayers. But I think that when we have the opportunity, we need to get in the proper position of prayer. When I was in the Air Force, and I went in before my colonel or whoever it might be, I didn't go in however I felt like it. I didn't kick his door open and say, "Hey, I need to talk to you." I went up to the door, and I hit it and stood there. And I waited until I heard "enter." And when I entered that door, I didn't just push it open and walk in casually. I made sure that I stepped in sharply and stood, and that I turned, and I didn't turn my back to him, and I closed the door behind me, and I walked up, and I did my facing movements, and I saluted. And that's how I approached him, because he deserved that. He was an officer, and that was the respect due him. Well, we should expect the same thing when we come before our Lord. We don't just come to him casually, however we feel like. But we come before him with reverence, the reverence that's due him. And there's nothing wrong. I think we've gotten away from praying with our hands up going, "God, would you help me?" Because we see the charismatics do it and we're afraid. We're afraid to be labeled. We shouldn't be robbed of the blessing of praying with our hands in the air toward God, lifting up holy hands toward God. Maybe we need to get back to that. I don't do that enough when I'm by myself sometimes. But there's nothing wrong with doing it with other men. But the purpose for them praying in the synagogues and the streets was to be recognized. The purpose and the motive behind the posture they chose was not a humble posture in the way they did it. It wasn't a kneeling posture. It wasn't a posture of being humble toward God. But it was a hypocritical standing and a pride and a confidence in himself. in the way he got up before. Luke 18, I'm going to turn there real quick. But it was a confidence in their own self and not in God, the God they were supposed to be talking to. Luke 18, dealing with hypocritical dealings with the Lord and with men. Luke 18, verses 11 through 14. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as the other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. You see, this Pharisee, he stood up there and he wanted to be recognized. He wanted to exalt himself. He wanted everybody to know how holy he was. And he even went to the point of trying to make someone else look bad to do that. But this publican, you see, he realized how sinful he was before God. And he smote his breast. I don't know that I've ever been sorrowful enough to smite my breast, to bang my chest and say, God, forgive me. It'd be good for me to get that way. It'd be good for all of us to get that way and realize that God is holy and we don't give Him the reverence in prayer that we ought to. And it just says that he didn't even have the ability to lift his head toward God. He felt such an inability. I remember there was a time, though, in my life, and I mentioned it before here, that I felt like I had gotten so far from God that... And it wasn't that in my life I was doing that. I wasn't running out and going to the movie theaters and doing all these things. I wasn't doing those things. It was just that I had gotten away from my heart attitude and the prayer attitude toward God. And I got to the point where I went to eat breakfast one morning and I bowed my head and I wanted to pray, but I couldn't. I couldn't even come before Him. I didn't feel like I deserved to be there. And I didn't pray that morning for my breakfast because I didn't know what to pray. I didn't deserve to ask for anything. I didn't feel like I could petition Him for anything because I didn't deserve it. And I got in my car and I drove to Austin and I had an hour to think about it. And I said, oh, how did I get so far from God? How did I let myself get so far that I couldn't kneel and talk to my Father? And I remember before I got to Austin, I began to pray and say, God, help me. I've become so proud in my heart that I'm not where I ought to be toward You. And I had to repent of my sin and repent of my life and repent of the way I had been treating the Lord over the last few weeks so that I got to that position where I felt like I couldn't talk to Him anymore. And things sweetened up and I was able to pray again and I got back into that attitude of prayer. But it's so easy to do. It's so easy to become so proud of ourselves and so away from what God wants us to be, the position and the attitude of prayer. And that's the other point I want to stress, and I've already done that, is that pride that was involved with this. As that man prayed, you know, he wanted everybody to know that he fasted twice in the week. You know, the Bible tells us when we fast, we're not even supposed to let people know. Yet he wanted to be recognized for that. He got his reward for that. When people went, oh, that's tremendous. You know, that's all he got for that fasting. We tend to want people to know the suffering we're going through. We tend to want people to know the work that we've done behind eyes because it hasn't been seen. We want to make a comment. We want to do something. We want to wait till there's someone there before we perform this so that someone will recognize it. And we need not do that. We've just got to do it with a pure heart toward God. The pride that they were involved was expressed in three ways. First of all, they loved to pray there in the streets. It doesn't mention, God doesn't commend them for praying in the house. He doesn't say, you've prayed well in your house, but you shouldn't be here. He rebuked them for their prayer life in the streets before people. The love of prayer, but the opportunity to be recognized by others. They loved to have their prayers applauded by men. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in the streets doing it. They wanted people to listen and to set an approval maybe on the prayer. They weren't concerned with God's acceptance or approval with their prayer. Their prayers weren't toward God. They were to men. And then lastly in this section, their prayers, because it says here, and Brother Shea touched upon it so well this afternoon, it says that in verse 7, they use vain repetition like the heathen. a planned prayer, something written out, something to follow, not something from the heart as the Holy Spirit gives you utterance to speak unto God, but something that was written down by a man and put just right so it'll please people. It shouldn't be like that. We shouldn't offer prayers to God like that. You know, I can't remember where it was that I was at, and they had someone, and it wasn't at Randy's. I think the gentleman that prayed there at Randy's graduation did a tremendous job. I think he prayed a great prayer. But I was at a ceremony, and a man was praying a prayer. And he had a paper just like this. And he read it just like this. Dear God, we thank you for all that you've done for us, and we thank you that we have the ability to be here. We thank you for those that have been. And that's how his prayer was. He wasn't talking to God. He was reading a prayer that was written out for him. And it shouldn't be like that. When we pray to God, it should be what God lays on our heart to say out. I have a prayer list. I'm not against those. Don't get me wrong. I should say that. I have a list that I go over, and I have people's names on it. But I don't have what I'm going to pray each time for those. Like when I pray for different ones, I don't say, like, for Brother Steve Bowman. I don't say, Brother Steve Bowman, pray for success in Kuwait. I don't do that. It just says, Brother Steve Bowman. And as I get in an attitude of prayer for him, the Lord lets me know what I need to pray about Steve for help over there, for encouragement, for another Christian to come by. But I don't write out what I'm going to pray for him. I just write out that I remember, pray for Steve. Remember, pray for these, Brother Joe Williams, Brother Key. Pray for these men that are overseas. Brother Estes now, as he's over there. Pray for these guys. I have a list. I don't think that's wrong. But I don't plan out exactly what I'm going to say. I just, the list brings it to my remembrance, and I allow the Lord to give me what I need to pray for them. But oftentimes it says here that it was a vain and a repetitious prayer like the heathen do. And it was done for much speaking. I heard an illustration about a man, and I might not even get this right. I've only heard it once, and it was a long time ago. But it was talking about a preacher who had led this young man to the Lord and discipled him along, and he was called to be an evangelist later on. And he went out to be an evangelist, and I guess he came back to this church, and the pastor was going to let him pray and preach there at the church. And this evangelist, if I've got the story right, got up and he began to pray this very proper, very eloquent, very rehearsed prayer. And it was going on and on. And from what I gather, and I'm told this is a true story, that the preacher reached over while he was praying and tugged him on his jacket and leaned over and said, "Don't forget where you came from." Reminding the man that he was getting a little too proud in his heart and that he was no different than anyone else. That he came from the same place everyone else did. And I guess this man stopped his prayer and then began to really pray. And then things were the way they ought to have been. But we have this, the possibility, if I will, of becoming hypocritical in our prayer life. Praying toward those that are around us instead of toward God. The product of this type of praying in verse 5, and I'm ending with this, it says, "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They have the applaud of men. They have, you know, we want souls saved. We talk about and we pray about souls being saved. And I'm not saying because you haven't led a soul to the Lord. It's been a while. I was telling Brother Buhorn, it seems like it's been a while since I've led someone to the Lord. And I want to lead someone to the Lord. And I'm out there doing the same things I do, but maybe it's my heart. I don't know. I haven't. It's been months, it seems like, since I've led someone to the Lord. And I want to lead someone to the Lord, but maybe it's because here I'm not where I ought to be. I can do the praying. I can even go out and give out the tracts. But if I'm not where I'm supposed to be spiritually toward God, if there's pride involved with me going out there, if there's pride involved with me winning a soul and saying, look what I've done, maybe that's why the Lord hadn't allowed me to. I don't know. But if there's a danger in being prideful and hypocritical in that work, God's not going to bless it. We're not going to get the rewards. We're not going to see the results of the work we do for the Lord because He's not behind it. There'll be no reward in heaven. There'll be some, it says, that go to heaven and there'll be no reward for them because the work that they did was for vain glory and for self pride. If we receive the praise of man, that's what we receive. But when we get to heaven, won't it be good to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's not be caught in that hypocritical attitude that's so easy to get in. I've showed you, I've shared with you several times here tonight where I felt like I've gotten that hypocritical attitude, doing things for the wrong reason, for the wrong purpose. Any one of us can do that. My prayer is tonight that we will get our hearts toward God again and do the things we do solely for the Lord and not to be seen and praised of man. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. Lord, I do pray again from my own heart. Lord, you know it, and I pray you'd search it and show me where I fail you, where I do things for the wrong reason, where I do things out of pride or for the glory of men, to be a man-pleaser. Lord, and not in singleness of heart toward you. Lord, I know this message was about being hypocritical, but Lord, there might be some people here that are serving you and they don't even know you as Savior. What they do because it's expected of them. Lord, we pray that if there's someone here tonight like that, that doesn't know you as their Savior, who's never repented of their sin and called upon the name of the Lord, that you deal with them tonight. Lord, and if we're here tonight and we've just been hypocritical, I pray that we wouldn't fall under that folly and become and live a hypocritical Christian life, but that we do it singly in singleness of heart toward you. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.